Well, we have more than the usual ships out at sea today. Okay, so today's daf is called days. I think we left off a little bit in the middle of the sugya on Chof Alev Amid Beis. Let's just review. Maybe it's kedai to take a little bit of a review. What we've been talking about is the Machlokes Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim about Hamapelet Chaticha. So we have over here a case where there's a piece of something or other. It's not clear precisely what it is. We've established later on in the sugya it doesn't have any bone in it. If it had bone in it, you'd have to worry about Leda. It's basically a piece of protoplasm. And now it says that the Tanakhama holds if there's blood together with this, so then of course it's Tamei Balsnida, there's no question of Leda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it says it's Tamei no matter what. Now we had a number of different approaches as to what the Machlokas is up here. Shmuel's approach was that Rabbi Yehuda... Rabbi Yehuda's approach... Rabbi Yehuda's approach, according to Shmuel, is that we're talking about the piece being blood, and that if it's the colors of the Arba Mine Damim, then it's Mitzame, otherwise it's not Mitzame. One shot in Rabbi Yochanan is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, everybody agrees if the Chaticha itself is the color of blood, one of the four primary colors of the Mishnah, that it's Tamei. Everybody agrees that if it's not, that it's Tahor. And the only machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is where the Chaticha was lost. We simply don't know what color it is. So in that case, Rabbi Yehuda follows a road, because most of the time we have the coloration of blood. And the Chachomim don't follow the road. That's the first two approaches. Then the Gemara ends up showing from a Brisa that we really cannot tentatively maintain the approach in Rabbi Yehuda that it's talking about Dafka Arba Mine Damim, because in the Brisa it says Beferish, green or white, and he would be Mitami anyway. Comes along now, according at least to the second Lashon, it's Rabbi Yochanan himself, who comes along to say that indeed the Machlokas here is something completely different. It has nothing to do with the Chaticha itself. Rather, it has to do with the shaila of whether ye efshir l'ptichat hakever below dam. Is it possible for the cervix to have opened and there not to be a bleeding? So over here, the Tanakama who says that ma'pelas chaticha is tahora, that's because there's no bleeding, efshir l'ptichat hakever below dam. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's tamei no matter what, because we couldn't care less about the color of the chaticha, since ye efshir l'ptichat hakever below dam. Therefore, it's always going to be tamei, because there's always going to be some dam that's associated with it. So this gives us now three pshatim in the machlokas. The Gemara goes on then to tell us a number of different shitas that involve a completely different issue. And that turns out at the end of the sugya, that was the last thing that we were discussing, that actually, if there would be, let's say, a tube that was inserted into the cervix, and now all of the bleeding would be coming through this tube, everybody is made up, that the Torah says that it has to be bifsara, and is not called bifsara. So therefore, there would be no tumah associated with such a case. I must warn you, there's one sheet among the Shonim, which is most unusual, which holds that that's only where the blood hadn't exited the body yet through the tube. If it's already outside, then it's metame. All of the sheets that are shown in besides the Meiri don't hold to that. So that what we're talking about is the derech of Re'iyah. Doesn't matter even if the dam is now outside of the body. If it came through a tube, it's not considered to be tame. But, what's a nogear sugya? Our sugya is nogear, the shadow like this. We have three shitas in how to understand the shvofer, besides the questions of how we learned it until now, that Evshalop Tichat HaKever, the Tzura of the actual the actual, I mean the chaticha, the tzur of the actual chaticha, the color of the actual chaticha. Over here the question is like this. There's blood in the chaticha. Now there's three levels to the shitas here. One shita, which is the most machmir on this level, would be that if it's red, there's an assumption there's blood mixed with the protoplasm, and that itself would be matame because of damni. Another pshat, which is less common, is that if there's actual blood in capillaries and so on, that this is a tumorous kind of tissue, so it has blood vessels in it and has protoplasm, now then it's matame. Not if it's just a reddish color. It's just mixed. And then we have the sheet of Rav Shimon Yochai, who holds that we're talking about a cyst. So we have basically the membrane around it, and then inside we have an actual pool of blood. And then the shaila becomes whether is this considered to be the equivalent of seeing the dam through a tube, or do we say that a cyst is normal and therefore be considered to be bivsara, and you can't really compare it to the case of the tube, which is why we brought in the case of the tube. So it turns out we have many different possible explanations of what the machlokis in our mission is, and how chomer the shita of Rebbe Yehuda's matame the shvoferet, the chaticha is. Now the last thing that we got up to before we were interrupted by airline flights was lema shvofer tanoi. You were in the middle of that sugya, and I think it's probably worthwhile for us to start again. So 10 lines up from the bottom, lema shvofer tanoi. Let's say that the question of whether a shvoferet would be metame is actually a machlokes tanoi. The tanya mapelot chatika fapishum leyadam, im yesh ima adam tamea v'im lav tahora. So the Tanakama says over here that if you have a cyst, essentially, only if there's blood outside is the woman Tameya, and if not, she's Tahora. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bivsara, Velo Bishvir, Velo Bechaticha. When the Torah says that it has to be blood on her flesh, it means, and not inside of a container or of a piece of protoplasm. Rabbi Eliezer, I know Tanakama, I understand, what did he just change? That's what the Tanakama said. The Tanakama said, unless there is blood other than the blood that's inside of the cyst, better she won't be Tamea. And then Rabbi Eliezer says the same thing. All he does is bring a pasuk. Says the Gemara, yes, and you misunderstood. Ema, what you should have said is not Rabbi Eliezer Omer as if he's arguing, but rather the Tanakama following the Shita. She Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Since Rebbe Eliezer is darshan from the pasuk that when it says dama bivisara, it means lo bishvir v'lo b'chaticha, that it has to be entirely normal, flow along the actual body parts, and not inside of some type of shvir, which would have been normally the container for a fetus, and not inside any other protoplasm. V'chachamim omrim, and the Chachamim say, what are we talking about over here? This blood that's contained inside of this cyst, it's not blood of a nida at all, it's the blood of the chaticha itself. Isn't that, I mean, so they're also saying it's tahor. I mean, that's there's a practical difference between those two approaches. Tanakama nami turei metayer. Ela de pali pluye yikabinayer. Yeah, there is a very important difference. The difference is, if this piece of protoplasm has furrows, ridges in it, which of course would be fairly common, and there's blood in there, according to the Tanakama, since that blood comes into contact with the vagina, it's therefore bivsara. And the only problem over here is in a case where it's bivsara, velo bishvir, velo b'chaticha, and so too, in a shvoferet. But of course, that's only animili echadashia. That's only if it's a smooth membrane that completely encloses the blood, like a plastic bag kind of thing. Avopali pluye, if there's furrows and ridges on the surface of it that contain blood, so then tamea, my time of bivsarakarina, this blood flows against her flesh, so to speak, despite the fact that it's contained within this piece. Didn't we tell you we're starting at 8 from now on, Rich? Now, if you only is at 8,
sorry.
You could have come right on time at 8:15. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, say, even in a case where there would have been these furrows and ridges in it that contained blood, but what is that blood? That blood isn't the blood of the Nida. That is the blood of this particular tumorous growth. So, afagav de palet pluyeng zedam Nida, ladam chaticha. Okay, what are the implications? Implications are, but had it been dam Nida, ha dam Nida, they would have said tamei, ostensibly. I mean, if they're arguing with the Tanakhama, then ostensibly what they're saying is, look, we disagree with your reasoning. Because if this had been dam Nida, even if it would be inside of a plastic bag, it would have been tamei. However, it happens to be that anyway, you're right, because this isn't dam Nida. So it won't be tamei. But if it had been dam Nida, forget about it. I mean, it's one way of understanding the machlokas here. In which case, there seems to be a fundamental question of whether the bivisara excludes a tube or a plastic bag or doesn't. Says Abaya, I don't understand. Where do you come to that conclusion? Why? That's not the only way to understand it. We could easily have said like this. We could have said, Bishwoferet kuli amalo pligi detara. If it had been an actual plastic tube, there's no question that that would not have caused tuma. Everybody agrees to the drush of Bivsara. That's not called Bivsara. You have no right to jump to conclusions that the second sheet over here that is arguing on the Tanakhama, even in terms of an actual Shvoferet. Now, the Machlokas over here is where it comes to the Chaticha. Remember, we never talked about a Shvoferet. You don't have to demonstrate everything to us. I mean, that's it. So we're not talking over here about a shvoferet. We're talking about a chaticha. And the ma'asav adarkat shel isha lirot dam b'chaticha. Come in there. Look, there's a machlokas, okay? Let's say, this is how Rashi learns. Let's say that the case over here, indeed, as we concluded, the difference between the Tanakhama and the second Shita is that there are ridges and furrows on the surface of the protoplasm of this chaticha, correct? So now they would be arguing like this. So one man, the Omar, would say, now, you're about to see the problem in Rashi's pshat. Because darka lirot, up until now, Abba, I would strongly suggest taking off that jacket or risking the Ritchie phenomenon.
Smart defensive, isn't it?
These jackets, I mean. Didn't even notice. All right. So now the question is like this. If you hold up until now, what did Darka Shela Isha Liros mean? We talked about, is a tube the same as a chaticha, of a cyst? The Gemara said before these exact same words. It's not the derech of an isha to see dam in a tube, but it is the derech of an isha to have a cyst sometimes, which is full of blood. So there, darka shel isha meant what is the physiological norm in terms of expulsion of blood. It had nothing to do with what the blood is, correct? Here, the way Rashi is learning, and Tosis doesn't like his pshat because of the change in the meaning of the words, here, darka shel isha is the question of, is it normal for dam nidos to be inside of a chaticha? Which is a completely different point. So the Tanakhama is saying, look, if there's blood in this chaticha, I mean, that is assuredly dam nidos. Whereas now the Chachamim are arguing, they say, no, ain't that dam nido. Why? Because dam nidos is generally found to be flowing and not inside of something else. Therefore, it's not dam nidos. That's how Rashi learns it. But when it comes to shvoferet itself, using a tube, well, of course a tube is not considered to be bivsara. Why should you jump to conclusions? Okay? As I said, Tosis doesn't like this, and that's why he doesn't like it. You're using the language a completely different way. You're saying, darka shel isha lirot is not the question of what is her norm in terms of bleeding inside of a sister, outside of a sister, but rather what type of blood it is, which is a completely different way of looking at it. So therefore, Tosfos understands the whole circuit's talking about a chaticha that is indeed without these ridges and furrows, like a plastic bag. And therefore, it is a completely sealed kind of thing. The reason that the Tanakhama is metamic is because he says cysts are normal, and we just look at this as a cyst, and it's also, it's not the same as Shvoferet, and it's included in normal Riyah. Whereas the Chachomim over here say that, no, this is not considered to be a Ains et Dam Nidos, meaning, not that it's not Dam Nidos, this is Tosis's problem, not that it's not Dam Nidos, but rather, this is not the Dam Nidos that the Torah was Matam, because it's not the way to see it. So both Pshatim have their problems with the Signon.
Wait, is the Dam of a cyst considered Dam Nida?
No.
It's not.
No, you see, that's the way Tabrashi has learned, that it's a question of what's the source of the Dam. The Tosis who learns that it's a question of what's the delivery mode of the Dam, he's got to dray that piece. That ain't said Dam Nidas, meaning it is Dam Nidas, but it's not the way the Dam Nidas would normally come out, and therefore it's not included. So.
Did they have any idea, how accurate was their idea of what Dam Nidas was?
Good, very accurate. Correct, but it doesn't matter all that much. Because what we really have to distinguish is not between technically Dam Nidos, in which you necessarily had a full lining of the uterus and so on and so forth. We just have to distinguish between Makos, in other words, various pathological lesions and things like that, which wouldn't be called Dam Nidos, but any bleeding of the uterus itself that doesn't come from some type of trauma or pathology would be considered either Nidos or Zivas anyway. Yeah. So.
Is this thing that's coming out less than the size of Tzivasa Kevin?
No, we're going now without the side of Tzivasa Kevin.
This is totally...
Beyond that, yeah.
Well, I thought we had...
If it would be, then we'd have to say it's smaller. I mean, but it's not no good. I'm not focused. Even if you don't hold of the problem of Tzivasa Kevin, what is this? Because remember, we pointed out in the Mishnah, as Tosis points out over here, we mentioned it yesterday, and it's very important in the Halakha, that it's clear that Gemara has no problem. Oh, we didn't point it out yet, I'm sorry. I mentioned it, but I didn't point it out from the Sugya, sorry. Later today, we'll be able to see it from the Sugya. But I mentioned to you that it's clear from the Mishnah that there's got to be a minimal size to Ptichat HaKevra, because otherwise, why would we have the machlokas only with the chaticha, not with the case of the klipot and the sarot and all these things, which everybody agreed you'd have to first establish whether they're blood. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you don't have Ptichat HaKevra, so you have Ptichat HaKevra, the size of a hair. That's not called Ptichat HaKevra. We have a minimum size of Ptichat HaKevra. Fine. So this would be one approach. And this is the way Abai understands it. There's no reason for us to jump to conclusions that there's a machlokas about tubes. Everybody would agree that a tube is certainly not considered to be derech ri'iyah. Or, Rava says, I have another possibility here. Maybe everybody agrees that ein darkah shel isha lirot dam b'chaticha. There's no question over here about the woman. The woman's not tameya. Question over here is whether the blood is tamei. That's the only issue. We've already seen that it is possible for blood to be tamei and the woman not to be tamei. As a matter of fact, very possible, since even dam nidos without an overall sensitivity on the part of the woman to the dam, then that dam would not make her asur of her husband, even though it may be tamei. So there's two different issues. So the question over here is, whether mekor mekomo tamei, that's the question. Is this blood tamei since it came from the uterus? That's our question. Even though it's certainly not considered to be dam nidos. The Rebbe Eliezer sabar isha Torah. Rebbe Eliezer says, look, the woman is Torah, but yes, but the blood itself is tamei. Do osi derech mekor, it's coming from the uterus. Rabbanan sabre, the Rabbanan are saying that ein zu dam nida, over here we're going to have to explain, ein zu dam nida, look, if this was dam of anida, you could talk about tuma, but it's not dam of anida, and therefore there's nothing to discuss, because mekor, mekor motoharu, the fact that blood comes through the uterus, does not make it tame, but you get that idea. Either it's dam nida, or it's not dam nida. If it's not dam nida, it's not tame, and that's all there is to it. So the machlokas over here has nothing to do with the issue we've been talking about, which is how does a woman become tamea? It's a machlokas over here in how does dam become tame when a woman isn't tamea. That's something else. Moimine Rabba mi Ravuna. Rabba asks Ravuna about an equivalent case on a male. So how about Harora keri bekise mahu? There's two ways of understanding this sugya. Either that you insert a small splinter into the urethra to take out a little bit of semen that is inside of the urethra, but hasn't come out of the body. Yeah. Or it could be talking about a tube is inserted into urethra. The reason that we call it now, instead of shvoferet, which is what we talked about, a tube in the vagina, we talk about a kisei simply because the lumen of this tube would be so small that we don't view it as a shvoferet if it's going to fit into a male urethra. So, okay, but there's a machlokas actually whether to learn this is a question of ri'ya, which is abnormal, in other words, it's through a tube, or whether we're talking about over here the mode of delivery. And we'll see there's two shitas in what the Gemara is talking about, which have import on that question. So what would be the din? Do we say, mimenu, Omer Achman, the Torah says, Asher yetzei mimenu shichvazera. Mimenu means adenafik mibisaro, something that comes out normally through his flesh. Velo bikisei, not through some type of toothpick. Odil mahai mimenu simply means out of him, meaning asher yetzei tumato lechutz. All we're interested in is that the semen should now be outside of the body, and at that point it's tamei. And that's all that it's saying. In other words, once it's outside of the body, it's tamei, even though now it may be close to the surface of the body, that's not tamei, and that's mimenu. But how it gets there, afilu bekisei nami, we couldn't care less whether it's bekisei or whether it's bibisaro. Amar lei, and so surprisingly, Ravuna answered him, your whole question doesn't begin. Because typically, duhu atzmo eno mitame, ela bechatzimat pihama. Why don't you say, now Rashi learns, this means as follows. Why don't you say that the shi'ur of semen to be mitame has to be sufficient to seal the tip of the urethra? Since you've stuck something in there, it's obviously not sufficient. Because you have to take off the thickness of the kisei. And therefore there's nothing to discuss. Now there's a lot of problems with this. Because the shiur of katimat piya amar is said in terms of zivos, first of all. It's true that we learn out carry from zivos. However, there's two completely different dinim we have to remember. There's a din of a bal keri, which normally one takes to mean one of the tumas of ri'ya. A woman becomes tamea by having blood flow through her, either as a zava or as a nida. A male becomes tamea by having semen or zivas, which is not the same material, but having various fluids from the prostate come through him. And that's considered to be the equivalent tumah of the male. Problem is that every ro'eh has no shear. When there's a tumor of re'ia, it's simply metame, whatever it is. Afilu tipas dam kechardal, like we said by, you know, the tiniest amount of detectable re'ia is re'ia. So the din of chatimat pi'ama seems to be a completely different issue, which is no geya, and not no geya re'ia. And this is what's bothering the Gemara right now. If you're giving me a shear, says Ravuna, says the Gemara to Ravuna, Lamema de Nogea Ravi, if you're giving me a shear, you're apparently calling this Balkari a Nogea. In other words, what you're saying is that since unavoidably there will be some contact with his penis to this Shichvazera, so he's Tame because he touched it, not because he's a Roe. And therefore you need a certain amount to be Matame, like any other shear. Where you touch something that's tame, it has a shear. But if that would be the case, you're telling me that it's a nogea because it has a shear, then one of the important implications of such a thing is al yistor beziva. If a person becomes tame, let's say a person is a zav, and now he touches shichvazera, he's not going to be Soser Hiziva, any more than a woman who's counting Shivas Nagiyin touches Dan Nides. So she touched Dan Nides. So. But if she doesn't bleed, she doesn't have to start her count over again. And according to you, it would mean that someone who becomes a Baal Keri, since he's not a Roe, he's just touching. So why would he have to start counting his 7 clean days again? Remember, if he had been a Zav who was Roa 2 times even, then he has to give Shiva's Nakian. So why would that be now Satur to start over again with Keri?
Would this be even someone else's Keri?
No, I'm saying that. Touching never is Sosa. How the heck would you have someone else's semen in you?
Would that not necessarily in you? I mean, if it was on the ground or something, I'm just questioning. We're talking about touching it, I'm saying. Questioning if he touched it on the ground, would that also have implications?
What implications?
Would it make him tame by touching?
Of course it would make him tame.
For the same amount of time?
Yes, the same amount of time. Why not? We're not talking about whether it's tame. Nobody doubts that semen is tame. The question over here is whether it's soser, whether re'ia is soser. And if you're telling me that there's no re'iyah, that there's only a din of negiyah, there can't be stira at all. Now, Lama Tanya, why does it say, Zot Torat HaZav Asher Teitzeh B'men HaShem Vazera, the Torah puts two completely different things together, Zivas and Asher Vazera, to tell me that just like Ziva is Soter, somebody now who's keeping 7 clean days, who now has a re'iyah of Zivas, has to start his count over again. And furthermore, if he's Raya Shekhla Zera, he also cannot count that day. So it's a stira. You say stira? Says Ravuna, that's not a problem. I insist, again, all this I'll leave it to Rashi, I insist there is a shiur. And therefore, in the case of the Kisaim, you don't have a shiur. And now the question over here is, so why is it so, sir? I'll tell you why it's so, sir. Stira hainu taima de soter v'fishi'i efshala v'lo tzichtzu cheziva. If someone is a Zav, then the assumption is that he never actually cleaned out all of the passageways from the prostate material that was metami. The only thing is, it's not metami until it comes out of the body. But now if he becomes a Baal Keri, there's going to be some of that material that's carried along with the semen, and therefore, that's what's being said, sir, not the re'iyah of Keri. And your question was based on a misassumption. You're assuming that when the Torah was saying that Keri is Seser, it's because of re'iyah. It's not. It's because it happens to be a carrier of Zivas. That's all. Really now? Then why doesn't it cancel all 7 days? Let's say a woman who's keeping Shiva Snakian. She sees any dam at all during her Shiva Snakian, starts the whole thing over again. A Zav is keeping Shiva Snakian. He sees any Zivas at all during that time, starts all over again. But the din is that if he sees Keri, he only cancels that day and keeps counting. According to you, that now you're claiming that actually there's no such thing as a steer of Keri, there's only a steer of Zivas, for which Keri is a carry. So now why is it that it's so for only one day? So then why don't we say, Tistor Kol Shiva? Allah Matanya, why does another Brisa say, Zot Torat Azav, etc., etc., Ma Ziva Soteret Afshik Vatzera Soteret, and here's the Chiddush, Ima Ziva Soteret Kol Shiva, Afshik Vatzera Nami Soteret Kol Shiva, you might think that, in the same way that you have to start all over again the 7 days, you'd have to start all over again the 7 days just because of a re'iyah of Keri. Talmud Lomar, Litama Ba means to get the same tuma that you would have had usually as a Baal Keri. Usually as a Baal Keri, what would you have lost? One day. Go to the mikveh that evening, your Tahar, right? So therefore, Ein Lecha Ba, Even if you are a Zav and you're keeping Shivas Nikian, you're not going to lose more than you would have lost if you weren't a Zav. In other words, the Satira is limited to the Satira of Yom Echad, because that's always a din of Keren. It's Yom Echad. Now, according to you, Ravuna, this is absurd. You're telling me there isn't really such a thing as a steer of carry. There's only such a thing as a carrier carry. That's what you claim. It's because there's zivas in the carry. How do you come along and say, well, but you're only going to get the tumah of carry. We're not even interested in the carry. If we could have used water and poured it through you somehow, it would have been exactly the same thing. So why are you saying now that you're only now satur yom echad? Obviously, it's because of Riyah, not because of Nogaya. Oh, my way, says Ravuna. That's a problem. What do I know what the reason is? That where you have Ziva Gemura, Dolo Arba Bashikh Vazara, when you have pure Zivas, and Zivas does not have any semen in it, so Teret Kol Shiva, that indeed starts over the entire process, you need not account seven new clean days. However, tzichtzuche ziva, the arva of shikva zera, however, a material of zivas that is mixed with shikva zera, lo soteret ela yom echad. And that's the halacha. Go ask me why. It's a different material, because it's mixed now. Whereas the Torah gives the din of stira of kol shiva only on unmixed zivas. All right, that was Rashi's approach. The problem with the is that it comes out to be almost contradictions of our norms in how it is that we view the Tumah and the Dinim of Stira of Tumah of Keri. Because according to Rashi, we really are talking about the equivalent of a Nogea, which is outrageous. And so the Gemara stops with this. So now we're telling you that about Keri is essentially a Nogea. I mean, it's just unbelievable that we've given up on the whole din of Riyah's carry. Tosfos learns that the question over here is that Chatimat Pi'ama is not a shiur in Nogea. Chatimat Pi'ama is a din in touching, but not because of the tumah of touching. It defines the nature of a Baal Keri. A Baal Keri is not someone who has ejaculated. A Baal Keri is someone who has touched normally the ejaculate as it exits his body. Therefore, according to this chat, we're talking about a tube. He's saying in the sense of tube. And therefore, this tube prevented any contact with it. Not because the tumah is through Negiah. The tumah is then, in fact, in Riyah. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, so then, if you're telling me that it has to touch him, doesn't that turn him into a Nogea? That the entire tomb is in terms of Nogea? This is how Tosis explains it. And Ravuna says, no, this is Xeris HaKosim, that this is what it means to have the Re'ias carry, and this is the Shear of Stira. So that, I mentioned to you earlier, there's a little difference in how to understand Kisem. Because, I mean, according to this pshat, the kisem is not a problem in touching, because, I mean, you're still going to have contact when you pull out this toothpick, if it's a toothpick. But if what we're talking about is a tube of some kind, then it is possible to have ri'ya, so to speak, without any negia on his flesh.
What is the difference in the din between ri'ya and negia? One day it's tumah.
Well, I mean, Ravuna is saying basically boils down to the same issue because of this xeris hakosa. In other words, it's tzichtuch eziva, and that's the din of tzichtuch eziva. So there wouldn't really be enough to me here anyway.
Amen.
Okay, I mean, the real problems here we're not talking about because they're not the Gehar Sugya. They're problems in the limud of Baal Keri from Azav, okay, which is now we haven't touched on the Dinim of Zivas. But this is the Totsa'ot from to our Sugya. Dan yavesh mahu. What would be the din if the blood is dried? And this is dried at the time that it leaves her body, not that it dries afterwards. Ki yazuv zov damam rachmana. Yazuv zov damam means that blood is flowing. That's what the word zov means. So ad midav daivle, until it actually flows, which means it has to be lach and not yavesh. Or maybe he's just referring to the norm. Norm is blood flows, but it doesn't really matter. Omar Lai says, I understand. That's the Pharisha Mishnah, isn't it? I mean, it says later on, Damanida, Sar Hamid, Mitamim Lachim, Yaveshim. It doesn't matter whether it's dry or damp. Omar Lai, what does that have to do with what I'm asking you? The case over there is when it came out, it was damp. And it became dry. The Mishnah is saying, even though it became dry, since it was tummy, when it came out, it remains tummy. I'm asking you, where it never came out wet. It came out hard. So, ki mi boi li, yavesh mi kara. Oh, honami tini tu. I mean, we learned that also. That's our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, I'm a pelot, you mean klipa. I mean, it says, hairs, pieces, it means sarak, min hafkar. It says over here, Tatilamai, Imni Mukho Tumeya. As you see, over here it's considered to be dam, even though it's dry. Ah, but you see, isn't that the point? Why does it have to be put into water? Because apparently you're trying to establish a level of dryness where it can still be rehydrated. So that's, maybe you're saying that it has to be damp. So Yaki Beloni Mukho Nami. Omar Rabbi, no, that's not the point at all. The point is that kiloni mucho, if you can't get this thing now to actually fall apart in water, it's because it isn't blood at all. It's not, it's because it's some kind of thing. It's bria bifnei atzmai. It's something that's in the uterus that had nothing to do with blood. And that came out. I don't know, maybe there's air or something, whatever it is, but it's not blood. So we're just testing for blood. We're not testing for hydration. There's really such things as like little creatures and stuff. I mean, the blood that looks like that. Even there certainly is. Tani Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. We have two meisim actually that came to Yavne on this issue. Shnei maasim hela abba mitivon liyavne. One was a story maaseh isha shaita mapelet kemin klipot adumot. There were these like hard scab like things that were red. They asked the Rav, who was Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok came to the Beis Din in Yavne to present the shayla in front of the Sanhedrin. They asked gynecologists. This woman has apparently some type of maka. And what's coming out is coming out from this maka.
Scabs?
Apparently scabs. Tatilamai. What you should do is you can put this into water and you'll see. Imni mucho, if it turns out to be blood, so that you can't be sure where it's coming from, and it would be tmeya. There was also a mice of Anisha Shaitama Pelet, to mean Sa'arot Adumot. She kept exuding these little red hairs. Uba'a v'shala es abba, v'abba shala chachamim, v'chamim l'rofim, v'amrulem shuma yesh labatok meya. She apparently has a mole, which has hairs on it. She mimenam apelet, to mean Sa'arot Adumot. Make sure that that's what this is. So tati l'mayim, see if it falls apart in water. If it doesn't fall apart in water, then it's not blood. And imni mucho tmei'a. Omrei shlokish, when it says water, it's talking about the potion. It's talking about water that is not too hot, not too cold. It's tepid water. You can't really know if you use cold water. And you can't know if you use very hot water. It could be that you're forcing something that normally wouldn't have fallen apart. Tanyami Ochi, Tati Lamayim, Ube Poshrin, use tepid water. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, Mima Kato Birok al Gabei Tziporin. You can use saliva, which is body temperature, and see whether you can press this against your fingernail, see if it will fall apart in the saliva. May be Nayu, the difference between the two shitas is very clear. Amravina Mo'ucha Yedeat Chaki Gubenayu. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds that even if it falls apart under pressure, you're rubbing it, that's also enough to be matamir Whereas the Tanakhama says, no, it has to be that it's just going to fall apart in water without any pressure. Now, Tznan, now there, the Maisa over there, what it's talking about, is where you have a nevela, where you have a sheretz. The nevela of sheretz got dried up. And the din is, once it's dried, it's not metamet. So it says over there, if you can rehydrate it, then it would still be metamet. What's the shear of rehydration? Kami shriyata, biposhrin. We talk about in tepid water, if you leave it for 24 hours and it rehydrates, so then it was metan.
Why should you rehydrate it if it's not metan now? Leave the sleeping dog's life. What do you have to do?
It is metan now. I want to know whether it's dry.
If it's dry now.
This is the test. If it's capable of being rehydrated, it's not dry. The shear of dry is that it's so dry that there's nothing you could do now to rehydrate it. So if it will be rehydrated, then it's not considered to be fully dehydrated.
Fully dry.
So how come I? Me be'ina me'es li'eitz. What about over here? By the dam nida. We said, use tepid water. Do you also need 24 hours the way you need by the sheretz? Or do we say, sheretz of nevela da kushi? I mean, look, sheretz of nevela is that's a hard substance. Over there, you give it 24 hours to see whether you can rehydrate it. Avodam derochichlo. Mashenkein, blood is soft. I mean, either it will immediately respond to the water or not. Odilmaloshna, take. That's not clear whether we need 24 hours.
That's some things which you might have been studying for a year. Once it contains like dried ink, as I said,
What happens?
If you put in water even after a month, it also. The ink or salt, it'll become moist again.
Okay, but not a dead sheretz, and not.
No, but didn't say dried blood. Dried blood will always become.
Yeah, but dried blood doesn't need a month. That's the point. And if we give it a month, then it may be that it's something that isn't blood, but because we gave it so much time, it also melts into the water. That's what we're saying. We're saying, look, we're trying to figure out that it should melt. We want to see if it's blood and not something else. If you're going to give it too much time, then even if it's something else, it may melt. That's what we want to know. So it could be legabe blood. It's sufficient to give it a half an hour. Then if it needs more than a half an hour, then it's not blood. Then it's something else. That's the shaila. And that's what we're left with our take.
What's the difference between a completely dried sheretz and a...
We learn it out from the Torah. That's because it's a misa. Again, it's a misa means that it's sufficiently... The tissues are sufficiently similar to death that what we're seeing is not a dehydrated sheretz.
And if it's completely dehydrated, it's not
madami anymore.
Nothing.
Now, notice that the Mishnah, the Gemara now starts talking about pelet kemin dagim, skips the sugya of the klipot. Okay, we're talking about now, she miscarries something that has such a mutation that doesn't resemble anything human at all. It's like a fish, which there is an embryonic stage that is fish-like. So, that's not matamir. Liflog nami rebutivaha. Why does it... Fine, okay, I understand it. But it's not a leda. But, I mean, it's a chaticha. So how about the machlokes about the chaticha? Omerish Lakish, he does. The machlokes shnuya, it's just that the Mishnah doesn't bother mentioning it. But, if Rabbi Yehuda argued on the first thing, he argues on this too. And this is only going on according to Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if we're going like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda only said that he argues on the chaticha. Ki kama Rabbi Yehuda. Hasam by the chaticha, David dan dekar shavet chaticha. I mean, it's normal for blood to have hardened in such a way that it looks like a piece of protoplasm. But I mean, it is not normal for blood to turn into a fish. I mean, you're telling me it just happened to coagulate in the shape of a fish. Oh, come on. So beauty, a little happy, how would it look like a fish? So therefore, we don't have to be choshesh, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, of course, this only works if Rabbi Yochanan holds that Rabbi Yehuda's reason for being metame is because it is coagulated blood. How about according to the second Lashon, where the reason that Rabbi Yochanan learns Rabbi Yehuda's Matame would be, Yefshar l'ptichat hakever below dam. So what's the napkamina? So it's a fish. But meanwhile, there was an opening in the cervix. And what about the dam? It's not a leda, but what about the dam? So alagabi chaticha, okay, affecting more about al-haq lishadam Rabbi Yochanan, b'yefshar l'ptichat hakever below dam kamiflike. If Rabbi Yehuda's svara in the machlokas with the chachomim is in terms of ptichat hakever, how could Rabbi Yehuda not argue about this case? Liflod nami Rabbi Yehuda b'ha? Oh man, manda matzli hachlishna. You're right. The one who had the second lashon in Rabbi Yochanan has also a different lashon in what Rabbi Yochanan just said. And Rabbi Yochanan did not say afilotem Rabbi Yehuda. He said Rabbi Yochanan said exactly what Rish Lakish said. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish to Amri Tarvayu, both of them agreed that b'machloket shnuya, this is indeed a machlokes, and it's just going according to the Rabban, and the Mishnah didn't bother talking about it. Now notice, as Tosis points out, and here's the place I promised you I would tell you, where we see in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, the Gemara doesn't question why it is that there's no machlokes about the sarot and the klipot.
Because they're so small.
Exactly. Because they're so small. So as we see that there's a shear, if shalot p'tichat hakever below dam, doesn't mean anything that comes out is by definition going to be matami because it had to have been some dam with it. We're going to talk about a fish. Okay, fine. A fish, I understand.
Very small fish.
Well, maybe that's the 2 centimeters. Hamapelet kamin behima. Next case is the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, where the mutated fetus looks like an animal, not like a human. So according to Rabbi Meir, the woman is tamei leida, which is strange. I mean, it's because the Torah does talk about laben or labat. I mean, laben or labat means a human child. It doesn't mean some other thing. But where did Rabbi Meir get the idea that a behema or a chaya or an oaf is something that would be metame a mother? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, my time in the Rabbi Meir, Hovenim Rabbo Yitzira ke Adam. Since we find that it says Vayitzer Hashem Elokim in Adamah, then it talks about all of the Chayat HaSadeh and the Ofot HaShamayim. That was in the case where he was bringing them to Adam. He wrote Ma'ikrova. So it says the Lashon of Yitzira there. It also says the Lashon of Vayitzer, the double Yud Vayitzer of the Adam, Afar Min HaAdamah. So therefore they're similar to Adam. Just like the Yitzira of Adam is a human fetus, a Yitzira of the Chayot and the Ofot is sufficiently human-like because it is too being Yotzur and therefore Bimatame. Oh, now, if that's the case, then how about a woman who miscarries a whale?
That's a whale of a
tail. Yeah,
I mean, a whale's a mammal.
That would be good. Hamapelet dmut tanin. Te'imot. According to you, if there's a tanin there, so let the mother also be tamea later, because it says yitzira. It says the same lashon of yitzira there too, ki adam. Because we find, I mean, maybe not literally the word yitzira, but it says vayivra Elohim et ha-taninim ha-gdolim. Ah, come on. I mean, here it says yitzira. I mean, there it says vayivra. Danim yitzira mi yitzira, vein danim bria mi yitzira. Well, my nafkamina. A tana de Rabbi Yishmael. As we know, the famous tana de Rabbi Yishmael is that we have a gezerah shava between the word vishav and the word uba. Now, those are two totally different words. I mean, shava kain uba kain. But since conceptually, zoe shiva, zoe bia. Zoe bia, I mean, conceptually, yitzira, bria, what's the difference? Anyway, I mean, look, if that's what's bothering you, don't learn it out from Yetzirah and Bria, okay? Learn it out from Bria and Bria. It says Bria by Vayivra Elohim et ha-taninim ha-gdolim. And it says Bria by Adam. Vayivra Elohim et ha-adam b'tzalmo. So why can't you learn out Bria from Bria instead of learning out Yetzirah from Yetzirah? And then you should say that even a fish shape should also be included. Mishnah says a fish is definitely, Imo is not Tamei Aleda. According to this, a fish, Imo should be Tamei Aleda. And perhaps, I mean, this is a machlokas, we showed him how to understand it, and perhaps not the other way. In other words, let's not learn the behema and the chaya to the Adam. That's a question already in the understanding of the nature of the Mesorah and the Gezeirah Shavah. That's a machlokas we showed him, whether we're trying to add or we're trying to substitute. Amrei, Vayivra, wait a second. Vayivra is not extra to make a drasha with. Vayivra is legufe. That is needed to tell me the din of the Briyat Adam. I mean, that's the story. What are you supposed to do? Not say it? I need to know that Adam is Nivra. But Vayitzar is extra, and therefore it's lafnuye. It's to create an extra word which is meant now to be used as Gzeira Shava. And that's why I've done a Yetzira Miyetzira. No, how do you know that? I don't know. Why not look at it the other way around? Why don't you say, Vayitzer is the thing to let us know that Adam is Yetzur. And it says Vayivra in order to let Vayivra be extra, so that we should learn Bria Mibria, to teach us that we should learn that Tanin and Adam as being the same. Understand? You seem to have made up your mind in advance. Now that you've made up your mind, you've decided which way to look at it. The Vayivra is needed, but the Vayitzer is extra. I say let's do it the other way around. The Vayitzer is needed and the Vayivra is extra. Well, what's wrong with that? No, I'll tell you why. Because the Vayitzer is actually an extra word on both sides of the fence. Because I don't need it from the behemoth's point of view, and I don't need it from the Adam's point of view. And I certainly am interested in finding a Gzera Shava where you have the extra word on both ends of the Gzera Shava, on the Adam end and on the Behema end. It's Muftagabe Adam, it's Muftagabe Behema. But the Vayivra, it says by the Behema also, it says Vayas Elohim. Okay. But the Vayivra is indeed extra by Adam, because we have the Vayitzer. Right? So there, in fact, it's Mufna. But Gabi Taninim ain't a Mufna. There's no extra Pasuk by Taninim. This is the only Pasuk. So how can we do without it? Therefore, it makes far more sense to use Gzeira Shava where both ends are open, and which is the Vayitzer, and not use the Vayivra where it's not open. Now, you say it's Mufna. Okay, explain to me why. My Mufna Gabi Behema. Why do you say by Behema it's extra? Because it says, Vayas Elohim et chayat haaretz. And it also says, Vayitzer Hashem Elohim in Adam akol chayat hasadeh. Then I could say the same thing by the Tanim. By the Tanim it's also extra. Because it says by the Tanim, Ve'et kol remes ha'adama. And it also says, Vayivra Elohim et taninim ha'gdolim. Well, what are you talking about? The remes of the adama. That's talking about that's the sixth day. That's a reference to the land creatures, the Yabashani. So that's not a Mufna. Okay, can you explain to me, my Nafkamina, being Mufna Mitzarecha, and Mufna Mishneh Tzadi? What are the practical implications of the difference? Well, yeah, there's a tremendous difference. Nafkamina, I'll tell you. Omer Rav Yonah Mishmur, Mishum Rav Yishmael. So we have now a Kabbalah from Shmuel that Kol Gzeira Shava she'ina mufna kol ikar ein lamed mimana. A Gzeira Shava that is based, the only words you identified are words that aren't open on either side, even though you have no reason to deny the validity logically, you have no basis at all for Gzeira Shava. Ein lamed mimana. It's useless. If it's mufna mitzad echad, then, according to Rabbi Yishmael, lemeidim ve'in meshivim, that's a reliable Gzeira Shava, even though it contradicts something rational. And Rabbanan lemeidim u'meshivim. According to Rabbanan, it's a good Gzeira Shava, but if you have a logical reason to say that they shouldn't be the same, you can be doch of the Gzeira Shava. If it's mufne mishnei tzadim, then even the Rabbanan are made divrei hakol lemeidim ve'in meshivim. Okay, so according to Rabbi Shmuel, is there a difference between Mufta Mitzad Echad and Mufta Mishneh Tzadim? Because after all, Rabbi Shmuel just agreed that even if it's only Mufta Mitzad Echad, that you can't ask any questions on Gzeira Shava. So according to him, what do we care now whether we learn not from the Vayivra Vayitza. Ah, no. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's also different. Namely, Nafkamina. If you have a choice of which Zereshava to learn from, such as our case, you can either learn Vayitza from Vayitza, or you can learn Vayivra from Vayivra. One of them yields a fetus that is fish-shaped, and one of them yields a fetus that is animal-shaped. And then you have to determine, Shafkina Mufta Mitzadachad, you relinquish the Gzereshava that was only open from one end, such as the Vayivra, the Yalfina Mufta Mishneit Stadim, Ulahachi Afdin Rachman Lebema Mishneit Stadim. That's just precisely why the Torah in this case taught us an extra word for Behema to make sure that we have the Vayitza open, to make it clear, according to Rabbi Meir, that the limud is meant to be Adam to Behema and not Adam to Damim. So we'll continue this issue tomorrow.
We said earlier, Adam, Dagazar, Shavuot, these are both
correct. As I said, there's a lot of different shitas as to what precisely is the Kabbalah of Gzereshava. Is it a word that you then search out to figure out what the word is, or is it a link, and then you have to figure out what the link is, which is the Mashmaut here in the Sugya.
Right.
That's why there's a machlokus between the Rishonim as to how to understand whether this is additive or substantive. But again, we're going to see more about this tomorrow, so we'll go into it more. Yeah.
We're saying here at this point that